Now, we have quite a lot under matters arising, and we're going to ask for some elaboration, I think, from government officials, so bear with me a little, if you will. First of all, paragraph 519, this is the proposed boardwalk under the IEC. I think we're going to have a bit of an update from CEDD. Alfred Wong and Mr. Lamb, I think, are going to update us. Does anyone have to declare interest? Peter, are you in terms of the boardwalk? Do you have to declare interest? Good, okay, fine, that's good. Good. All right. Mr. Wong, can you give us an update then on the situation? Thank you. I see we have a presentation in front of us. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Chairman and members. Today, following on the last task force meeting in October, today our project team would like to introduce the four activity notes to be put forward in the CE2 community engagement for members' comment. May I pass the time to our project team, Mr. Lam, please?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chairman. An update on the proposed boardwalk underneath the Island Eastern Corridor, the IEC. We have refined the proposed boardwalk scheme after the Stage 1 community engagement, the CE1, and the earlier consultations with the task force in the last meeting. A 10-meter-wide boardwalk scheme with a cycle track and four activity nooks are proposed to provide sufficient space for the shared use among various social and recreational facilities. The alignment and the longitudinal profile of the boardwalk remain the same as in the previous proposal put forward under the Stage 1 community engagement. But in response to the comment received from the members in the last meeting, we have adopted a simplistic functional boardwalk design. The design minimizes the visual impact of the boardwalk and adopts a minimum design idea to create a light and thin structures. As for the four activity nooks, the first one at the Oil Street, this boardwalk will be connected to the future waterfront open space north of Oil Street in North Ponds, where pocket gardens, sitting area, children play area, and cycle tracks are proposed at the future waterfront open space under the urban design studies for the Wen Chow North and North Pond Harbourfront areas, that UDS. The connection designs between the open space and the boardwalk would create a smooth transition with the cycle track and the walkway. The second activity note is at Tong Shui Road. The Tong Shui Road is an attractive place for fishing lovers. A new fishing platform is proposed as an extension from the eastern edge of the boardwalk, which offers a buffering area at these junctions to avoid congestion between the piers user and the boardwalk user. We also suggest incorporating public art as a highlight to the boardwalk journey. Besides, the pier can also serve as a boarding pond for water taxi services. This space could be a multi-purpose activity which benefits from the sunlight and the rain protections underneath the IEC. A third activity note at the North Pond Ferry, North Pond Vehicular Ferry Pier. The proposed boardwalk will pass through the upper deck of the pier, which could be used as an outdoor multi-purpose activity space for performance, exhibitions, and events. The existing ramp leading to the upper deck of the pier connects the boardwalk to the surrounding recreation area, in which supporting facilities such as food and beverage kiosks, food courts are proposed. The fourth activity nook is at Hoyu Street. It serves as an entrance on the eastern end of the boardwalk. Cycle rental kiosks, food and beverage kiosks are suggested. To highlight the access to the boardwalk, public arts in different formats such as sculptures, art walls, floor patterns, and light projections are introduced to make this an artistic and attractive entrance. We also propose a water playground here. As members may know that we have started the Stage 2 community engagement from 29th November last year, and it will be up to 28th January this year. We have consulted the Eastern District Councils. We have conducted a focus group meeting and a public and a community forum earlier. Another community forum will be held in Cory Bake Community Hall this Saturday. All the materials of the CE2, including the consultation digest, I think a copy of a consultation digest have been passed to members for information, have all been uploaded to the website. And we will continue to listen to public opinions in the CE2 and further refine the recommended scheme as appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Perhaps in a minute, members may have other questions, but maybe you can just comment on the reaction so far from the consultation that you've had and the discussions you've had with the District Council. It would be interesting to hear how that's progressing. Question for me, these activity notes, these are something new so far as this group is concerned. Are these part of the consultation exercise, or are these some later thinking, if you like, that you're now suggesting we should consider? I'd just like some clarification on that. And then final point is, the activity notes you're proposing, do they involve an increase in the extent of reclamation, or can they all be accommodated on existing form land? Just so we understand. Those are the questions from myself. Members, any questions yourselves? Please. We'll work down. Ivan first, please. Thank you.
Just one quick question.
Oh, sorry.
Any toilet facilities provided within or in the nearby nodes or locations?
Okay. So toilet facilities in the nodes, I think, is a good point. Thank you. Ivan, sorry, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. My question is about the connectivity and accessibility of the current proposal. In the first portion between the Old Street and the North Point Ferry Terminal, they are proposing another access or discharge at the area around City Garden. But on the other portion from the North Point Star Ferry to the Quarry Bay, there is no such provision anywhere in the middle. So when it was built according to this proposal, people of Hong Kong, when they walk to this block walk, they have no choice, either go straight to the other end or going back. So I think from Harbourfront planning principle, it's not satisfactory. So my question is, can the project proponent seriously consider the likelihood of providing a similar access or discharge point at the middle between these two ends?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Did I see any other hands? Peter, please. Thank you.
Well, if we go back 7 years, this was proposed as part of a study for Planning Department. It covered essentially pedestrian connectivity between Causeway Bay and Chai Wan. It went through three periods of consultation, was accepted by the public, it was accepted by government, in fact, at the time. Nothing happened 5 years ago, virtually at the commencement of the Harbourfront Commission. This was brought to the Commission's notice, and CED was requested at the time to carry out an engineering study and confirm its viability, which it did. Now, that proposal was for a boardwalk underneath the Island Eastern Corridor. The purpose of both of these initiatives, essentially, was to minimize impact on the harbourfront and also to minimize any kind of impact, which at that time was something of an unknown quality, on the protection of the harbour ordinance. Now, this current proposal has ignored most of the comments from our last meeting, as far as I can see. The only amendment has been to straighten it out somewhat from the rather wavy design. As far as I can see, it's unnecessarily wide. There's no great demand to integrate a cycle track. It has no real merit that the previous one didn't, apart from being a little bit wider. It's impossible to plant trees on it. It has a very silly glass wall. The furniture and conceptual arrangement of sitting areas and so on is pretty abysmal. It will be staggeringly expensive, and it's in almost direct contravention of the harbour ordinance, in the sense that if this thing is going ahead, surely it should have the most minimal impact possible, which it certainly doesn't have. So I am completely against it. Thank you. Thank you.
I think in fairness to CDD, a lot of what they're doing is in response to public reaction and response, but they can no doubt defend their own corner. Please, anybody else? Thank you. Let's just walk. I'll come down to you in a minute. Sorry, I'm just walking down the row. Please.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
I know from the Boardwalk website that it's still titled the Boardwalk underneath the Island East Corridor. It's still the title. I'm interested to know the latest proposal. How much of the boardwalk is actually underneath the IEC? And also, I'm concerned about the cost. What was the updated cost estimate for this project? Thank you.
Thank you. Emily, please, sorry. Thank you.
Thank you. I have two questions. One is also about the estimated cost for the whole development. The other one is about the noise problem. Because the proposed boardwalk is quite close to the IEC, will there be any noise problem? And what are the noise mitigation measures? I would like to know these. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? All right. Maybe your initial response anyway to the points and questions that have been raised, if you can, CDD. Thank you.
Thanks very much for members' comment. First of all, the chairman asked about the reactions from the district council. The district council members generally support these schemes and urge for early completion, early implementation of the boardwalk. And they raise some. They support that there will be a wider boardwalk of 10 meters wide to meet the multiple use of from the public in terms of social and recreation facilities. Some members show concern about the safety issues. That in general, they welcome the provisions of a cycle track, but some members raise that they should be segregated such that the safety of the passengers and the cyclists can be safeguarded. And there are also comments which members ask about. One point is that they generally welcome that there is one more connections in the Providence Center. And they ask something about the mode of operations. And in general, we feel that from the district council of the forum members welcome the scheme. As regards the toilet facilities, there currently our thinking is there will be no permanent toilets along in the boardwalk itself. But at the four activity nodes, say for example in the Oil Street, which our planning department is currently studies, there will be some toilet facilities. And in the Tong Soi Road near the North Pond Ferry Piers, there is some public toilets. Near the another nodes in the North Pond Vehicular Ferry Pier, there are also gardens there, and there are also toilets around. So I think there will be sufficient toilets around the activity nooks there. About the connectivity issues, as I've mentioned, in response to our consultation in the earlier stage one community engagement, we have provide one more connection points in the western end that there is a linkage in the Providence Center to the Providence Garden. And actually we have one more connection point in the North Pond Vehicular Ferry Pier. That means after if we are going east way, after passing through the North Pond Ferry Pier, there will be a North Pond Vehicular Ferry Pier. We intend to connect it to the upper deck of the North Pond Vehicular Pier, where passengers can go up from the area near the Kawa Center. And there's also an escalator for the disabled to go up and walk through along the boardwalk. As asking about how much of this boardwalk is underneath the IEC, I think maybe this drawings may not be clear enough, but you see here there's a red portions. There's some red portions in the eastern end from the area just outside the city garden, in the area outside Tong Shui Road, and along the North Point Vehicle Pier at Ferry Pier. North Point Vehicle Pier. That will be underneath the IEC. The technical issue that we face is some of this boardwalk does not have the existing IEC does not have enough sufficient loading capacity. So we have to use the dolphin, the existing dolphin, or add some new dolphin to support the boardwalk scheme. So the boardwalk scheme has to go in underneath and in some way just right adjacent to the IEC. As for the cost, because our study is only an investigation study, so we, after consultations and establishing this need, we will start a detailed design, and I think the cost will be much more realistic during the next stage. As for the noise issue, the ball is a little bit shifting outside. I mean, it's not actually under the IEC, and it will be away a little bit away from the residential area. And our consultants will conduct an environmental assessment to assess the noise impact. And their analysis is that very significant noise level arising from this boardwalk. So, thank you, member.
I mean, I think this is an important shift that we should be aware of. I think this is no longer under, is it? This is adjacent to. I mean, I think in fairness, this is what we're now looking at. If you look at the plan, there's very little that's underneath. So we're now looking at a boardwalk which is adjacent to. And we need to look, obviously, when we're considering what's necessary and what's needed by way of support facilities and how best to utilise the new boardwalk, we need to have that in mind. So it is a somewhat, I think, it's slightly different profile than we had previously.
And Mr. Chairman, may I make a remark that?
Please.
Actually, the alignment is the same as that we have proposed in the stage one community engagement exercise, but the width is wider.
But I think in fairness, we portrayed it, whether we meant to or not, as being underneath.
Yes, but it may be different from the various from the periods the studies conducted by planning department.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Please, yes, yeah.
Now it seems that the boardwalk is now quite independent from the IEC. Perhaps are you claiming that it's still within the original scope of the project? Your original scope is underneath the IEC. It's
yes.
Quite an independent structure now,
mm-hmm.
and also a much more substantial structure. Also, I'm interested on the rough indication, of course. I'm not asking for the detailed cost, just the RIC. It's a very substantial structure here, and we have to be aware of what is the cost implication of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Maggie, I think you had a point.
As you say, this has changed significantly from what was originally proposed. I would like to be reassured that this doesn't put it at risk from a reclamation point of view, because we put it up in the original format in the hope that it would be quite secure in eventually receiving permission to go ahead. But I would hate for this addition and addition and addition and the rather change of project to put that at risk, because that's the most important thing, is to get this in place.
Okay. Peter, yes?
Yes, I think this is important, really. There's still, I am assuming, still has to be some form of legal issue to be resolved here with regard to the ordinance. as to what and what not constitutes an acceptable translation of the terms of the ordinance. And the fact is that there is an alternative. It's been produced, and it's already gone to the public several years ago. So why was the stage one scheme actually presented to the public in this form? That's one thing. It does have a very high impact, I think. Whereas I think it's right to say that the original scheme had a pretty minimal impact. So we've had a public consultation, not on the original scheme at all, but evidently just asking the public how, if they agreed, on a wide promenade. And I would actually like to know how many members of the public stuck up their hand. You know, we're saying this is a public response, but what do we mean by a public response? 3 people, 5 people, 50 people? And on the basis of that, we're coming up with a highly engineered scheme that's nothing like the original at all. I suppose one has to go on to say that if the public asked for a promenade 20 metres wide, would we be sitting here looking at a 20-metre wide solution? You know, I think common sense really does have to apply. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Christine, I think you wanted to say something. I'll come to you. Thank you. Christine, please. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Allow me to say, just to respond, I think it's better for me to set out clearly the sequential development of this whole project. I think that's actually very useful for us to understand the background and context of this whole project. So this will be a more detailed response. I think Plan D started with this conceptual design of having a boardwalk underneath the IEC as a connectivity sort of resolution, and also to enhance the harbour front air a connection of people to the harbour. And so when that concept was well received by the then Harbourfront Commission, I think the Harbourfront Commission became the strongest supporter of such a concept. And then eventually the government decided to take this up and then ask the Technical Engineer Department, CDD, to carry out a technical feasibility study to understand and to conceptualize how to make sure that idea could be materialized. So in their technical study, it was found out that the alignment of the IEC has to be in a certain way. Not all of them would be covered by the IEC boardwalk, and that message actually was conveyed to the public clearly, even in its first stage of community engagement. I think it's very important to note that we actually have been following steps and stages procedurally, and also in accordance to their findings, that it has to be built that way in order for that boardwalk to be standing beneath IEC. And I think what CT mentioned before was that because it needs dolphins to support its structure. So it's important to note that in stage one, we already proposed alignment. That is very much exactly the same as this one. The only difference is that at stage one PE, including this harbourfront, this commission, there was a very loud and clear request from the public on multiple usage of this boardwalk. There is this overriding and urgent social need asking us to make use of this opportunity to provide not just activity notes, but also to accommodate different users to make use of this boardwalk. And in this whole process, I can assure the Commission that we, in the team actually, has engaged a consultant to work particularly on the compliance with the Protection of Harbour Ordinance, meaning that we are actually in the process of writing up cogent and convincing materials to fulfill the requirements of the PHO in parallel while we are doing these technical studies. So the reason why we are proposing a wider scheme of 10 metres is because 10 metres is the minimum amount, it requires the minimum amount of reclamation that can fulfil the overriding public need that we have established from the PE exercise and also from our understanding of the public in making use of this boardwalk. So only because against this background and also with the support of HC from CE1 and the request therein that we are now proposing this slightly wider boardwalk. And the process of writing up the CCM is still ongoing, and that's why we are confident that we can satisfy PHO with this scheme, and that's why we're proposing this to the public. So I think it's very important to note that we have not changed the alignment or the concept. It's just because with technical studies, CEDD has translated that conceptual idea into a feasible technical scheme for consultation. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you. Please. Yeah.
I know we're all looking at the legal from the legal standpoint, but I think we also need to look from a practical and user standpoint, from viewpoint of water sports, leisure use of the water. I don't see that the impact is significant on usage or reducing the usage from a boating perspective. To the contrary, I think the boating community has long seen the current IAC as an eyesore, and it will from the perspective of the water, it will beautify our harbour. That's one thing, and I think the impact of this change is not significant. The second point I'd like to make is that over the last few years, I've noticed a significant change of leisure activities of the population in Hong Kong. The last few weekends, doesn't matter where you go, there's much more people in the country parks, outdoors, on bicycles and on foot. And I'm also wondering, in the public engagement, how many really, how big a proportion of people indicated they'd like to see a wider boardwalk. Obviously, that is very important. But I feel that the usage of this boardwalk for both cyclists and pedestrians will be bigger than we may anticipate, as I think that this trend of people wanting to be outdoors and outdoor activities will grow and grow. I wonder if what the CEDD, which other cities with similar concepts, shore-based boardwalks, it has looked at, and what experiences and knowledge it can draw from other cities. I'm not an expert, but I was in Vancouver, and they have a wonderful shared shoreline pedestrian and bicycle path. And the biggest problem they have, it's much too narrow. There's too many people. Tourists and local, extremely popular, not only with pedestrian, but also with leisure cyclists, and it's just much too narrow. So I understand the legal fear of legal implications, but I would urge to keep pushing for it to be as broad a boardwalk as possible. Thank you.
Please.
Thank you, Chairman. The question of the alignment of the boardwalk right now proposed in the PE2 is definitely one of the public concern. In one of the documentary I was being interviewed by TVB, they asked the same question. The public asked the same question, why the boardwalk is on the outer edge of the Eastern Corridor. So I go back and do some research, refreshing our knowledge on this, and you know, Christine had just briefed everyone about the background. But I think the question is, this commission have to form our view whether or not this alignment is in line with what we support earlier. Mm-hmm. Second is, I understand the major concern is about headroom. In some of the area under the Eastern Corridor, the headroom is not enough. But, you know, for me, if you diverted the alignment of the boardwalk to the outer edge only on the area that we have headroom problem, I mean, that is understandable, and that is, you know, a sort of practical problem we need to address. But now is the whole boardwalk is putting out, running along the outer edge of the Eastern Corridor. So that is something I think this commission have to come to conclusion on our own.
Thank you. This is matters arising item one, so I'm just conscious that we do need to manage the time. CEDD, would you just like to respond to some of the other points that have been made? and then I'm going to make a suggestion, but if you'd like to respond, if you would, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, really, about the alignment of the boardwalk, there is really some concern, constraint that we can't put the ball underneath the underneath the footprint of the IEC. As members mentioned, that there is a headroom. There's a headroom requirement for western sections from City Garden to Tong Shui Road. As the IEC is climbing up from the now this the CWB, the Central Wan Chai Bypass, the headroom is not adequate for the sections. We according to the design, we have to at least allow 2.6 to 2.7 meters headroom for a passageway and a cycle track. So there is not enough headroom for that one. And on the eastern sections, there are a number of public and private piers. And as we have mentioned in previous meetings, that we have to maintain the marine access because as they have the access rights to these piers. So for the eastern sections, the boat has to run at a relatively high level, and it cannot be under the boardwalk because that will further reduce the headroom for the fireboats for the ships to cross the IEC. So this alignment actually we have quite a number of discussions back to 2013 2013 where the commissions has discussed and we have showed this alignment. The alignment is more or less the same as it we have presented in the topical studies, and I assure you that we and our consultants have actually carried out extensive studies on this technical problem and come up with this alignment and level.
Thank you. All right, look, members, I'm going to draw a line. No, I know, and hasn't answered several questions. So what I'm going to suggest is we come back to this in more detail at the next task force. We have a proper paper and we have a detailed discussion, particularly on the question of the alignment, because clearly there are concerns being expressed about alignment and cost. But what I suggest is if CDDs is halfway through this engagement, they need to finish that, complete that. But I think they should come back at the next meeting, not only with the results of that engagement exercise, if you like, but obviously equipped and ready to answer the questions that we've been raising today, and with the necessary supporting arguments, if you like, particularly on the alignment question, so members fully understand why we are where we are, because we are somewhat different, I think, from where we started anyway, in terms of alignment. So if members agree, let's let them finish their study, finish their consultation. Our next meeting's March. Get them to come back with results of that engagement. But in particular, let's revisit, if you like, where we are and how we got here, and be sure we are comfortable, if you like, with what's going forward now. I think that's the most practical thing. Please,
Mr.
Peter.
Chairman, can I just make the point that from my recollection, there were a pretty large number of objections the first time we discussed this, the stage one, and yet the stage one still went out as if it had received complete approval. And we now seem to be doing the same thing again. You know, we've been presented this very nearly as a fait accompli. I think there were
individual concerns, if you like. I don't think there were strong objections, because we did agree that they should go out.
We said that they should come back and satisfy.
To be fair, this is what they're doing now. This is an interim briefing, if you like. And what I want is something more complete, if you like, and something more comprehensive when they finish this latest exercise. Because we do need to, I fully agree, and I share with members that we do need to be comfortable, if you like, with this as the ultimate solution. And we need to obviously therefore fully understand why we are where we are in terms of what we see on this plan in front of us.
Mr. Chairman, so just two simple questions. If they can't answer it now, let's have it and put in the minutes. is it still within the scope, original scope of the project? The second question is, what is the rough indication of cost? Engineers always work with rough indication of cost.
Okay.
I don't ask for the detailed breakdown. It's just a rough indication of cost. Is it a million, billion, or multi-billion? Okay. It's things like that. Okay.
Well, I think CDD, I think you probably received the message you need to come back next time well prepared, well researched as to why we are where we are, and also questions on cost alignment, etc. You need to be able to answer those, I think. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Still on matters arising, we have quite a lot of items under matters arising, updating you. Paragraph 2.2, this is the coach parking at Hoyu Street. Members wanted to receive the survey information on the utilisation of the parking spaces, and that was sent to you on the 5th of January. Paragraph 2.9, the North Island line, as you know, we're concerned about the extent of the take that the Highways Department and MTR want for purpose of the North Island line project, and we've asked them to come to us with a definitive set of plans showing exactly what land they need and for how long, etc. They're not quite ready yet, so that will either be circulated to you or it'll come up at the next meeting. Reprovisioning of the Chinchu Street playground. Our design was circulated to members on the 4th of November, and there were some more comments received, and they've been passed to the ASD. One question that I think you had, Peter Crookson Smith, in relation to the North Point ferry pier and the North Point vehicular ferry pier. You raised that in connection with this playground project. Mr. Peter Mack, could you perhaps just update us where government stands on the North Point ferry pier and the North Point vehicular ferry pier? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The North Point ferry pier is the only vehicular ferry pier on Hong Kong Island.
Sorry, you need to maybe a bit closer to the microphone.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
So can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Now, the North Point ferry pier is the only vehicular ferry pier on Hong Kong Island for cross-harbour vehicular ferry service for vehicle carrying dangerous goods. Now, this ferry service is essential for ensuring a continuous supply of dangerous goods to the Hong Kong Island, so including the oxygen for hospitals, petrol, LPG gases, for fuel stations, etc., as those vehicles carrying dangerous goods are prohibited from using the road tunnels. So now we have no plan to decommission or redevelop the existing pier for passenger ferry service at this stage. So
and the North Point ferry pier?
And North Point ferry pier, there are two passenger ferry pier services in North Point, and we are quite satisfied. We note that there is still a demand for such ferry pier services.
I mean, is there the potential to provide public access to those piers? I mean, is there the potential to add a floor or add some space to those piers and make them a visually more attractive but also accessible to the public?
We have no currently we have no plan to redevelop the existing ferry pier.
Okay. Good. Maybe it's something Christine, we could have on our agenda.
I want to supplement,
please,
even
Christine,
though TD
yes,
may
you.
Have no plan, but we actually, members may recall actually just at the PowerPoint that was shown by the IEC project, one of the activity note proposed is indeed the North Point vehicular ferry pier. So indeed, under the IEC boardwalk, one of the many areas that we will look into is exactly this place and how to gain access, I mean, how to increase or ensure public access access through this area onto the boardwalk. So we would actually look into that during our project. And also, last time when we presented the revisioning project, the harbour unit also agreed to look into further harbourfront enhancement proposals that can happen on the waterfront space in this vicinity. So on these two fronts, we would be updating members when we have progress looking into this area. But I think what TD was mentioning was that because of that's the only vehicular ferry pier on the Hong Kong Island, that's why they need it for transporting all these dangerous vehicles that contains dangerous particles. So I think what he meant is that there's no change in the land use,
right.
But we would definitely be looking into ways into enhancing the environment there.
Can you also do the North Point Ferry Pier as well?
Ferry pier is a separate issue which we can definitely look into as well. We are in the process of seeing what other piers within Victoria Harbour together with this can be enhanced or make it like look pleasant and more harbourfront friendly, so to speak. So that's a separate project that we're also exploring. Thank you.
Please.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman. I fully appreciate that Hong Kong Island needs vehicular ferry pier for dangerous goods. No doubt about that. What I concern is about the long-term existence of that vehicular pier for that particular purpose with the boardwalk and also the redevelopment of North Point in the North Point housing estates. The risk level will be very different. I suggest that the government should do a comprehensive risk assessment to do what needs to be done to protect the end users of the boardwalk and the nearby developments. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mack, TD, you may want to take that away. Obviously, the character of the area is changing and going to change dramatically, so there may be some
I'll
change.
I'll take this back to our department's colleagues to have a look at the
Thank you.
Risk assessment.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Right. Moving on then. Paragraph 415, the draft planning brief for Site 3 on the new central harbour front. We had a separate session, a workshop on this. We had made a number of, I think, very constructive and positive comments. They were all passed to the planning department, and then they were passed in turn to the town planning board. I signed off a very comprehensive note that went to the board. One of the things, as you see, well, you'll be aware, is that we are very concerned about the prominence and the sensitivity of the site, and we have suggested to government that they should seriously consider a two-envelope approach when they come to dispose of the site, so that they should ask for a design concept as well as a financial bid, and government is looking into this because it's such a sensitive site and such a sensitive location that we really do need to know what the proponent is planning before we actually award him, I think, the site. So that's something that, as a commission, we'll continue to pursue. Because obviously, if the proponents have to submit design concepts, we have some indication of what's proposed, and we have some control, if you like, on the outcome. Please, Peter.
Yes, can I just make the point there that In that case, we need very clear urban design parameters to be set in the first place that we should actually see. We can't just leave it to private developers to come up with any old concept, but whether it has architectural merit or not. And a lot of these are quite intricate and ambiguous, and we really need a lot of careful discussion on that, I think.
Okay. Now, I'm sure government will come back to us on it as well. Yep. Chrissy,
yes.
Thank you.
I would like to thank members, first of all, for the last task force meeting and also the design workshop that we subsequently held. That was very useful. And a lot of your comments actually have been incorporated into the draft, the planning brief that was eventually passed at the CPB. We take this site very seriously, and we share members' view that it's special and it's very unique, and it's in central, and that's why we take note of the idea of having this two-envelope approach. And the government is looking at it, and we will report the progress probably because it's a very complicated issue that involves a lot of not just interfacing issues, but parameters, criteria, what's fair and what should be, considered. So I will come back to the Commission probably by mid this year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. All right. Paragraph 611 then, moving on. Angling facilities on the central waterfront. Remember, we had, I think, a very useful discussion with government on this, and I think we've now got, if you like, a much more practical, sensible compromise. Anyway, LCSD has started work. Completion in March 2017, and they're going to report back to us on the effectiveness of those facilities in about a year's time. Michael Chu, LCSD, anything to add on angling?
Thank you, Chair. There's nothing to add for the time being. Thank you.
We will watch with interest, all right?
Yeah.
Paragraph 7.8, Cadogan Park. We had a presentation, as you remember, from the Alliance. Again, the outcome of that was reported and conveyed to the Town Planning Board, and they're aware of the groups and indeed our concern about Cadogan Park. Lewis Cow, Planning Department, anything to report on the progress of the amendments to the Outline Zoning Plan in Kennedy Town?
Well, I think, Chairman, just one updating about the hearing. The hearing will be, the hearing is now scheduled to be started on 7th of February.
This is for all the amendments?
Sorry?
This is for all the amendments?
Yeah, the amendments, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it will last for a few days, and according to the schedule, yes, the hearing will be complete by early March.
Right. Yeah. And then you can report back to us on the...
After that, we can report back about the decision of the Town Board.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Right, paragraph 719, e-formula. TC is preparing a report on the outcome and the results of the race and lessons learned, and we're going to probably circulate that to you as soon as it's available, and we can obviously discuss it at the next meeting if people have points to raise. Edward, Learn, TC, anything to add?
I have nothing to add. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay. And then the final item under matters arising, item 730, short-term tenancy of fee-paying car park, Sai Yung Pun. Written response to members' views is circulated. We've had an informal working session. Relevant government departments have exchanged views. And we've asked, we've agreed that in the interim we will do 1 year certain. And the 1 year certain is very certain. Message we want to give, to TD and to those who wish to have car parking or any form of parking facility waterfront is that it's a temporary situation and that when we were not prepared to tolerate it indefinitely. So here we've said 1 year certain, and we've asked them to come back and report again, brief us in 12 months' time. And I gather the tenancy was tendered and was awarded on the 20th of December. But this is a constant debate and discussion, as you know, and I think we need to take over time a stronger position on these short-term car parks. Right, that's all I have under matters arising. Sorry, quite a lot, but it's useful, I think, to update you. Anybody got anything they want to raise under matters arising? Thank you.